So we'll read a little of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then we'll read something from Srila Guru Maharaj. So we're on Sloka 37, Chapter 25, Madhya Leela, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Drashtam Srutam Bhutta Bhavad Bhavishyat Stasnus Charisnur Mahat Alpakam Bhav Vinakshitad Vastum Taram Navacham Sa Eva Sarvam Paramatma Bhuta. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of all causes. He is past, present, and future, and He is movable and immovable. He is the greatest and the smallest. He is visible and directly experienced. He is celebrated in the Vedic literature. Everything is Krishna, and without Him there is no existence. He is the root of all understanding, and He is that which is understood by all words. Drashtum, experienced by direct perception, Srutam, experienced by hearing. Everything else, Sarvam Paramatma Bhuta, everything else is Krishna. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken by Uddhava when he came to pacify the inhabitants of Vrindavan during Krishna's absence. So this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati, I think.
I think it might be Prakashananda Saraswati's disciple speaking to him.
So establishing the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, individual, transcendental, at the source of all creation. Unlike the Mayavadi conception of Krishna being some kind of external manifestation of the impersonal energy, the Vaishnava conception, the Vaishnava vision, the Vaishnava reality, the reality, is that Krishna is the transcendent personality of Godhead, who is beyond all the manifestations that He has created. And He's the root of everything, and everything that is understood by words ultimately is Him. So there's so many discussions going on in this world about different topics. And it seems like, how could it be that everything is about Krishna? But the fact is that behind every object, every conception, every perception in the material world, there ultimately is Krishna. Everybody is directing their search, their quest, based on the desire that comes from their inner spiritual self, which is connected with Krishna. And in the material world, it's filtered through the three modes of material nature, and there's so many different illusory objects and perceptions and everything else that come into play. But ultimately, behind all these illusory objects and perceptions and conceptions is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So He's at the root of everything. And with clear consciousness, as we clear our consciousness, or as we come in touch with someone like Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Raka Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, we can get an understanding of how everything is Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, matter is a dictionary of spirit. So everything indicates Krishna. Everything indicates transcendence. Everything is a message to us. Everything is a wondrous display of Krishna's opulence, pointing in the direction of reality, just that we don't have the vision to see it. We don't have the eyes to see. We don't have the heart to see. So to develop the eyes and the heart to see through transformation of consciousness, through the grace of the higher Vaishnava, that is our hope. everybody has some glimpse and vision based on their own inner personal experience. We come to Krishna consciousness because we felt something. We saw something. It moved us in the direction of an irrevocable, unmistakable reality. And how we can express that experience and that movement towards that unmistakable, irrevocable reality, that is our job. That's our mission. That's our preaching as given by our Gurudev. The Guru gives us knowledge in the heart based on our service and surrender. And then to get more knowledge, to get more experience, we pass whatever little bit we have on, and then more comes to us. Srila Jitendra Maharaj gave the example of the swimmer who's swimming. Hand forward, giving back. Hand forward, giving back. And because of that motion, forward accepting, back distributing, the swimmer moves forward. So, in a similar way, we move forward in Krishna consciousness by sravanam kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam. And every person, you know, one person who's walked in the temple one day, he can give his experience of Krishna consciousness in a way that's more potent than most advanced academic scholar. Why? Because what he's giving is something that's come in a real way through the real process of transcendence. Something that's come into his heart from the heart of his guru. That is reality. We're dealing with reality that is not tangible to the mental plane, or the intellectual plane, or the physical plane, but it's real to the heart, and it's manifest through the intellectual and mental plane also. But the source of it is the heart. That's why Krishna consciousness is so nice, because everything comes from the heart, and everything is dependent on the sweet mercy of our Gurudev, not on our own particular capacity, material capacity. The only thing that enters into play is spiritual capacity. That capacity for surrendering, giving our energies to our Guru, and then in reciprocation, the Guru gives to us. It's a natural, like, experience. Everybody has some experience of love and the exchange of love. And it's reciprocal. You give love, love is returned. But that exchange, which we've experienced in this world, may be a distorted reflection of things, but nonetheless, it indicates reality. Nonetheless, it is real. Nonetheless, it gives indication of what real life is. Whatever is at the depth of our hearts, Krishna is there as the solution. Sadva idam bhuvana mangala mangalaya jnanesmana Darashitam ta upashakanam tasmai namo bhagavate anvedena subhyam non-dritto naraka bhagvirasat parasangai. O most auspicious one, for our benefit you enable our worship of you by manifesting your transcendental form, which you show up to us in our meditation. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality, and we worship you, whom impersonalists do not accept due to their poor fund of knowledge. Thus they are liable to descend into a hellish condition. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 9th chapter, 4th verse. So it said that a little bit of knowledge is more dangerous than no knowledge. So the impersonalists, they pride themselves in the understanding of the negative side of the material world. They see clearly that through the engagement of the senses and the mind in physical and mental activities in the material world, you're not going to find satisfaction. So concluding that intelligently, they renounce it. But Srila Jitendra Maharaj has told us that this is just another material type of activity. It's the opposite side. Positive side means we seek after sense gratification with the senses. Negative side means we reject that seeking after the senses and sense gratification by renunciation. And there's a third side that Srila Maharaj informs us, and that is the side of positive immortality, devotion, transcendence. And by engagement in devotion and transcendence, we find the nature of the self beyond the material world. Otherwise, the impersonalists, they negate things and they enter into some kind of death-like state. Srila Srila Maharaj just said, it's like a sleeping death. You know, so in one sense, it's kind of a relief. Like if you have a sore boil on your lip and it's pounding every day, and when you go to sleep, it's kind of nice. It's a relief. But, you know, it's not an ultimate solution. The ultimate solution is, to get up and read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Engage in the third aspect of our life, which is the life of devotion. So this kind of possibility, this kind of experience, if we just look around the world empirically, it's very rare. It's practically unknown. There's huge universities. Go to any country, and there's universities filled with thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of students studying like mad. Some to gain knowledge, some to position themselves for increased sense gratification, some to, in the interest of benefiting humanity. And then above that, there's all over India, there's renunciationists, people who are leaving that behind because they see clearly it doesn't produce anything positive. But because they lack the impetus, the experience, the devotion, or dedication, they just negate. They live in a world of negativity. They follow principles, they follow practices, and the ultimate aim, because it is based on personal ambition and personal acquisition, the ultimate aim is to become God. It has to be. Because the consciousness is not giving or dedicating. The consciousness is not thinking, I am a dedicated particle of the whole whose function is to give to the whole. The consciousness is, I got to get out of this place. So, selfish motivation. And because of that, they get so entangled intellectually in their superior position. Bhagavatam here tells us they are liable to descend into a hellish condition as a result of that. Why? Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada told us in the purports to Bhagavatam that they want to kill the person Krishna. actually, they are rejecting the conception of personal life. And personal life means service. Personal life means I'm small. And my natural function is not to live based on what I want to get for me. But rather my natural function is to give to God, to give to Krishna according to His whim and His will. And that's like Srila Vidyamara says, that's slavery. And for the materialist, slavery is a very ugly thing that's left behind in the past. Of course, material slavery is not very nice. But the notion of slavery, even when it comes to being enslaved to the transcendental order of the universe, manifest in the wonderful personal form of Lord Sri Krishna, even that for them is not palatable. Oh, you're just becoming a slave. You're giving up your independent life. You're not really fulfilling your individual potential. But individual potential has to do with not external stuff, nor renouncing of external stuff. But individual potential has to do with development of the loving reciprocal relation of our deepest inner heart. And every one of us carries that inner ideal with us. That's why, again, Krishna consciousness is irrevocable. It's already there inside. We all have a sense of it. We all know deep down what the real thing is. And it's just a matter of digging it out and remembering that within ourselves, by the grace of our Gurudev, is the greatest treasure. Like the example of the son who has become a drunk in the gutter, and he doesn't know what to do, and he has no money, and he's desperate. And suddenly a car pulls up, and he says, "Oh, you're the son of the richest man in the city. Please get in the car, and we'll take you home." So Guru is coming like that, and saying, "Why are you staying in the gutter? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to yourselves? When you can have such a gem, such a beautiful life that's not only readily available to you, but it's your natural right. It's who you are. You just have to try to conform to that by listening to the kind Benedictine instruction of Sri Gurudev. And he will take your heart and mold it and tear away the clutter that covers it. By His grace, these things will happen." So I'll read one more. Vajananti mang nirbha manushin tanum asritam param bhava majanato mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools disrespect me because I appear like a human being. They do not know my supreme position as the cause of all causes, the creator of the material energy. This is a quotation from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 11. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is establishing himself as the Supreme Personality and actually is directly answering the critique of the Mayavadis that say that Krishna descends through the agency of Vishnu, who is also some sort of high manifestation of the material energy. Krishna completely refutes that in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita as it is completely overturns the misconceptions of the Mayavadis. But still, you go down to the bookstores in Calcutta, and most of the books have interpretations that say just the opposite. You have to dig for Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. Or, by the way, can you buy Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Gita commentary anywhere?
Probably, I haven't heard of it, but I would assume
I'd like to, yeah.
It's true. Last night we had a total college kid, my buddy, trying to argue for 20 minutes
at the book fair, huh?
Yeah, just last night.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're describing.
Yeah. And at the Ayurvedic hospital, one of my doctors was Dr. Panda. He's actually in a family of Pandas, the guys that carry Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. And his mother's a Bengali lady, his father's the Panda guy. And he's, oh yes, I know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he comes in and he zips off about 500 Vaivajya slokas. And we get into a nice talk a little bit, and oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then I finally got him to sit down and discuss something substantial. And he says, yes, and then we'll all become God. Then I said, oh, please, this is, our understanding is that we become God-like, but as servants of God. He said, yes, that's what I'm, but very confused. So I gave him, somehow or other, when I came to India, I brought two copies of Prapada Jivanamrita. I don't know why I did it. I just put two copies in my bag. So I gave him one copy of Prapada Jivanamrita and said, please read the introduction to this, or the prelude to this. And I just looked at that prelude. And Srila Jitamarsh, just within two paragraphs, completely annihilates the whole bogus conception of Mayavadi notions and establishes the transcendental position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality. There's just, so many things all around us that give indication that the absolute truth has to do with personal loving reciprocation. Otherwise, the highest experiences that people have in the material world, they can't find in the spiritual world. So, the previous verse said they'll descend to hellish conditions because they can't understand where they'll find loving reciprocation. They can't understand where they'll find the exuberance of giving one's whole energy to the highest pursuit. They know the exuberance of giving one's full energy to skiing down a hill, or catching a wave, or riding a helicopter, or riding a balloon, or whatever they do. They know that exuberance, and it's unquestionably there's something real there. It may be reflective, it may be of this world, no doubt, but there's behind it, there's something real. And that the Vaishnavas know, that the pure Vaishnavas see and experience and feel at every step. Whatever exuberance, ecstasy, whatever wonderful experience people have had in the material world, it's only a distorted reflection of spiritual life. And if we remember that we can have something that is so beautiful and so perfect and so high, then our tendency towards the external, can be diminished. And obviously, that diminishing comes by primarily sadhu sangha, associating with those high devotees who live like that, who are beginning at least to live like that, and see like that, and feel like that. And learning stage by stage to redirect our energies in the right way. Learning, as Srila Guru Maharaj says, to understand how the mind is working, accepting and rejecting based on the direction of the senses, and then analyzed by the intelligence. But rather than following in that line, we can try to follow in the line given by our gurus, where the thing is reversed. And the soul, as we understand it from Guru Sadhu Shastra, begins to take control of the intelligence, which begins to take control of the mind, which begins to take control of the senses, and engage in tangible devotion. And by that engagement, there's a transformation. Like sandalwood pulp comes from a sandalwood block. The sandalwood block is destroyed, but there's a new, wonderful, beautiful substance that appears. And that's the pulp for the worship of the deity and for the cooling of the heads of the devotees. So the ego is destroyed. The ego that blocks and filters our true desire becomes destroyed by service and surrender to Sri Guru. I want to read something else. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So chapter 2, finer than matter. We find that certain scriptures, such as the Upanishads, give mere statements with no rhyme or reason, with no explanation or justification attached. This is because such knowledge is meant for the higher level, where there is no possibility of any deception. Whatever is said there is taken by the listener as complete truth. There is no room for doubt, because in the higher civilized plane, there is no possibility of any deception. Such a vision that we don't have to worry about being cheated. We don't have to worry about, is this right or is this wrong? What's going to happen to me if I do this? There's full assurance that what is coming to us is perfect, without any calculation, without any mundane motive. This is the Upanishad. This is the Bhagavad. And this is the person Bhagavad. So to try to remember and understand that, even though we're stuck in the world of fear and doubt, and trained from birth that we have to reason and figure things out and decide what's best for me. The mind is functioning in that way, almost on autopilot. But by coming in contact with the plane where there is no deception, we can have a shelter. We can have a place where we don't have to worry about anything. Whatever is said there is taken by the listeners as complete truth. There is no room for doubt in that higher civilized plane. There is no possibility of any deception. The Upanishads say, this means so-and-so. And the natural response comes, yes, it is so. There is no tarka, reasoning, and no doubt or anything of the kind, because the very plane itself is such that deception is unknown. Everybody's serving Krishna. Everybody wants to serve Krishna. Everybody has only that object. So there's no entry of jealousy, calculation, personal motive. It's not there. It's a perfect plane of harmony and peace. So in the case of the Veda and Upanishads, we are cautioned. Achintya kalu ye bhava na tong starkena yo jayet. Don't take your reasoning and doubt into that higher stage. It is unnecessary there, where there is only plain speaking and fair dealing, with no trouble from anyone wanting to deceive another. Deception and unfair dealings are unknown there. This is the level of the Vedas and Upanishads, where rhyme and reason are unnecessary. But in the lower stage, the Smriti and Puranas come to give their advice in another mood. The Puranas are like friends advising, do this and you will be benefited. They give examples. This person acted in such a way and received a good result. But this other did bad things and a bad result followed. So my friend, please learn from this. Then the Shruti comes to help by showing us how to apply these truths in our everyday lives. So the Puranas, the Smriti, they reach down in a kind way to give assurance to, you know, those us who still have some calculation, who still have some worry, who still have some chintya, some anxiety about our position in the world, and uncertainty whether we're going to be, you know, cheated and deceived at the next step. The Puranas come and say, this happened by this great soul, and he attained perfection, so you also do that. It will be good for you. You'll get benefit. The Kavya also approaches us and comes in a very sweet manner, like an affectionate wife, to advise, do this, it will be very good for you. But the Vedas take another approach. Achintya kalu ye bhava nastam tarkena yojayet. The subject matter does not come within the jurisdiction of doubt, reasoning, and so on. Don't drag all these filthy things into such a sphere. So I was, you know, amazed at Srila Sridhar Maharaj's conception, view of reality, his consciousness. I mean, you know, inconceivable for us, but nonetheless available to us in glimpses by the grace, you know, the living grace directly of Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj in his writings and in his personal presence when he was here. And I was just thinking this morning about how Srila Sridhar Maharaj didn't like thank you. And I was thinking, you know, Srila Prabhupada said thank you very much. And even Srila Govindadev Maharaj said thank you, you know, in so many ways. And I'm thinking, this Srila Sridhar Maharaj is standing on some very high plane where there's, you know, no question of compromise with the platform of, you know, material give and take. You did this for me. Even if it's in relation to something that has to do with Krishna consciousness. We're servants. We serve Krishna. That's it. This is the vision of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So no question of thank you for giving me, or thank you for doing this, but only question of, you know, the Lord's service and the Lord's blessing. No calculation enters into that plane. But in, you know, in preaching, in presenting ourselves in a kind way, as we saw in Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, these things are adapted sometimes. Srila Prabhupada, thank you very much. The end of his Bhagavatam lecture. So even though implying some kind of calculative interchange, the Vaishnava comes down to that platform and relates with the people to help them come closer to Krishna. So accepts the colloquialisms, the normal ways of doing things amongst people to some extent, so that they will be able to have the fortune, the chance to understand what is Krishna consciousness. And this Bhaktivinoda Thakur particularly gave emphasis to bring Krishna consciousness to the plane of accessibility. This is our mission as disciples and servants of our Guru. This is our duty as bearers of that which they have given their lives for. To the Gurudev, to the very last breath, giving his life for the service of his Guru Maharaj. To the Sridhar Maharaj, to the very last breath, giving his life for the service of his Guru Maharaj. To the A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the very last breath, giving himself for the service of his Guru Maharaj. And so, like, we've been blessed by them, we're their students, we're receiving from them, but simultaneously, at a certain stage, we should come to realize that we have this responsibility also that's come to us by their grace. They carried it for us. And now, how we can carry for others, you know, beyond the realm of my own problems and everything else. There's a higher principle that enters our heart from the transcendental realm and directs us. We have to do this. We have to give this. It's not really an option. So heavy responsibility, but simultaneously transcendental reciprocation going on. If we bear some of that load, then our gurus become pleased. And we find, sometimes, somehow, we bow before Sridhar Maharaj's murti and we see something of his feeling some happiness. We bow before Sridhar Govinda Maharaj and we feel, we see. Sometimes he's angry, sometimes happy, sometimes nothing. But the transcendental reciprocation is in progress. In a lecture I gave an example to illustrate this. A mother gives a sweet to her son, puts it in his hand, but he says, "Oh, it may be poisoned. I must go to the laboratory and examine it. It is such a deplorable thing and a very low type of civilization where such an attitude prevails. But in such a plane where affectionate and fair dealing is unknown, tarka, vichara, and yukti, discrimination, doubt, examination, and inspection are all present. But that is really a filthy life. The Krishna consciousness is simple. What's being given is carries no calculation, carries no cause for fear. And it's only ours to experience. There's Krishna Smriti and its opposite, Deha Smriti. Deha Smriti nahi yara samsara kupa kahantara taha hoi tena chahe udhara Chaitanya Charitamrita. One who is unconscious of his material body has no worldly material connection. We are conscious of our material body, and therefore we have come in connection with the atmosphere of the material world. If we are independent of this material body, then we have no connection with the mortal world. This is the medium between the material world and the Atma, the soul. The mental system makes the first connection, then comes body consciousness. So, we know from the Gita, what is the verse? Jirnani. Just as one discards his old and worn out clothes, so he discards his body and accepts another. The body, the mental covering, is external. It's not the self. The real self is Atma. And dependent on the conception of me as the body, we slog on in material life. Glimpsing and beginning to act in the plane of I'm Atma, Nitya Swarup Krishna Das, servant of Krishna, we begin to develop awaken a real inner transcendental life. So we're all involved in an awakening process, bringing about a new life from the ashes of material external life. And everything depends on consciousness. After Shukadeva Goswami finished giving his Bhagavad discourse, in his conclusion, he gave warning to the audience, especially Parikshit Maharaj. Tvam tu rajan marishyeti pashu buddhim imam jahi. 12th canto. O king, do not think you will die. Give up this animal consciousness. Eliminate it from your thought and do not allow your attention to come down to any material conception. Remain in your own soul conception. Take your stand firmly there. Why do you allow yourself to come down to the conception of this matter, the world, your body, and all these things? It is unnecessary. Don't allow your attention to come down to material consciousness. You are independent of that. Think of your soul, its higher achievement and prospect. Your transaction must be all upwards. Stick to that. You are soul, are independent of these. Free from matter, you can live and move very happily. To think it not possible to stay without a body is animal consciousness. Pashu buddhi. What is this? Why do you allow yourself to come into this consciousness of matter which is mortal? Don't allow yourself to come down to have experience of this material world. This is animal consciousness. You must kill it, butcher it. Tvam tu rajan marishyeti pashu buddhim imam jahi. To think I shall die is animal consciousness. Just kill it once and for all. At the same time, try to soar up from soul to oversoul and beyond to the Narayan conception and onwards to the Krishna conception. Try to live in the connection of Braja and the divine damsels there who are all serving Krishna. Consider how they are so recklessly engaged in serving the sweet will of their Lord. Each one of them is always prepared and is the emblem of sacrifice. So any kind of bodily consciousness. You think that you will die? Immediately, animal playing. To try to remember that we are soul and my function is to serve, then comes spiritual playing. So differentiation necessary. Pashu buddhi. Are we animals or are we spirit? Tvam tu rajan marishyeti pashu buddhim imam jahi. Just give it up once and for all. Said that you can, if you really want it, you can give it up once and for all and it can be done with. But, you know, trapped in the material world for a long time, you don't really want it. So we need to be with people who have that same inner ideal. We have that same inner inspiration. We want to be with people who will help remind us of what reality is and what reality isn't. And together render service to the high Vaishnavas. And by their grace, progress to a different stage of life. Srila Gurudev would tell us that there's all kinds of different stages of consciousness. 10%, 20%, 80%. I can see, but you cannot see. But however it is, 5%, whoa, that's pretty good. I'll take it. 10% better still. Because whatever percentage we have that's real, it's real. It will overwhelm that percentage that is unreal. This is a fact, and this Srila Gurudev told again and again and again. Gurudev was sitting in London in the front front room talking, and there was so many crowds of devotees coming in and out, and we're, you know, talking about the building, which we were always trying to get. And so I was at the door trying to arrange things. Then Gurudev leaves, people go out, and I'm standing at the stairwell. He walks down and he looks over at me and says, "Actually, we can never be defeated." I said, "Whoa! Never be defeated." And, you know, this is, if Krishna is God, which we all want to believe, which we all have in the inner ideal, then that is the fact. So that kind of faith, conscious, confidence is a natural product of our lives. But, again, where does it come from? From the lotus mouth of a great Vaishnava. And because he said it, it's real. Because he said it, we can do it. Simply because he said it. How wonderful it is that we have that type of association, that type of chance. Now present in the books, present in the samadhi, present in, like I heard Kamal said, everywhere. If we look. Oh, the Nag Mandir. Oh, Srila Prabhupada gave the money for that. Arranged by Srila Govinda Maharaj, built by Srila Sridhar Maharaj. There's their energy, whew, right in front of us. Beautiful Samadhi Mandir. The manifestation of Srila Govinda Maharaj's love and dedication for Srila Sridhar Maharaj. We're sitting here. We're sitting in the midst of Gurudev's love and dedication. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj is watching. And soon Srila Govinda Maharaj will be seated there. He's there now, anyway. But soon we'll see the Murti to our eyes. The transcendental realm is there, reflected through the great souls. And our hope, our chance, our opportunity, our faith, our everything is in their grace. Jai Shri Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Nirmal Acharya Maharaj Ki Jai.